This is part B of Beatitudes number 5. Now let's come back to Matthew, the 5th chapter again. And let's see how all of these fit together as we come down to verse 8, that each one builds upon the other and showing the steps of building godly character. In other words, the attitudes that we need to have so that God will fill us with His Spirit, fill us with His knowledge, develop His character in our hearts and our minds. Verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. So we have to start out with not being exalted, but yielding to God, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. With every beatitude, there's a blessing that comes, you see. Blessed are those who mourn. The blessing is, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Very key on learning and understanding, see. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall find mercy. Now we come to the next one. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And what we see with each one of these steps, that they're in progression. Now, what does it mean, pure in heart? Why do we need our hearts pure? Let's come here to Acts, the 15th chapter. Acts 15. And let's see how the apostles phrased it when they were talking about how God was calling the Gentiles without requiring them to have physical circumcision. Now let's pick it up here, Acts 15 and verse 7. After they were all together there, now verse 7, and after much discussion had taken place, Peter stood up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that from the early days God made the choice among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, another way of putting that is the heart knowing God. And God is the only one who can truly know the heart. That's why we need mercy, forgiveness, kindness, compassion, and everything from Him. God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, even as He did to us, and made no difference between us and them, and has purified their hearts through faith. So, purifying our hearts, purifying our minds, is the whole result of all of the Beatitudes leading up to this, and we'll see how God accomplishes that. Now let's come to the book of Titus. Titus, the first chapter. Titus, the first chapter. Now what does it mean, pure of heart? Well, I wrote down a couple of things. Pure of heart means you have no hidden agenda. Your intentions and your motives are pure toward God. You have no ulterior motives. You're not in it to get something for yourself, to take something from someone. It also means that you do not have hypocrisy. You're not hypocritical. You're not two-faced. Now, Titus, the first chapter, let's come here to verse 15. And so we'll start out with the end result and contrast it with those who are not pure in heart. Verse 15, Titus 1. To the pure, all things are pure. You're also not imputing motives to others. And sometimes those who do have wrong motives are taking advantage of those who are pure in heart. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Rather, both their minds and conscience are defiled. And there are all too many in religion that fit this category. Verse 16. They personally profess to know God, but in their works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and reprobate unto every good work. Which this also tells us something, too, that's important to realize. With a pure heart, you're going to do what? You're going to be obedient, and you're going to have good works. That's what you desire. Now let's come back here to the book of Proverbs. Let's see what it says about the pure in heart. Proverbs 23. Let's pick it up in verse 7. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. See, whatever is the innermost part of your being, how you think, how you react, how you view things, God knows it. That's why he gives us the Spirit so we can have, and we will see, to receive a pure heart is also a process of cleansing. As he thinks in his heart, so he is. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. So this is the undefiled in heart with hidden motives, you see. Proverbs 24 and verse 1. Do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them. And I can think, as I watch all of this economic news going on, and I can see something that is just absolutely amazing. Everything is based on greed. Everything is how I can make profit, regardless of what happens to the ones I'm making profit on, whether they're making money or whether they're losing money. And they've got all kinds of schemes where they tell people, oh, wonderful, wonderful. Oh, put your money in here. We will make you a good return. And it's like a big stack of cards or a big domino display where you hit the first domino and they all fall. They don't care if you lose money. They don't care if they take it. That's just really something. So don't be desirous of their wealth or what they're going to do. Their day's going to come. So notice, for their heart studies destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. That's the undefiled, or the defiled, rather. Those who are not pure, those who are defiled in heart and mind, that's how they think. And this is the, what you might say, the first step in criminal behavior. People give themselves into thinking how they can scheme and take, how they can steal and possess. And this is what all con games are based upon. And if you see any television reports on some of these schemes that people have, and how many fall for it, it is unreal. I know every once in a while I get an email from someone in some weird country, mostly in Africa, mostly in Nigeria, and of course one of the poorest nations on earth. And one of them said, my husband was a colonel in the war in Kuwait. And he made $25 million off of oil. And he died of his wounds, and now I need to process the $25 million. And I will be very happy to give you several million, but you have to help me first. In order to get the money released from the bank, I need $25,000 wired to this account, which will then free up the $25 million. And I will send you X amount of the $25 million. Well, I got an email that similar to that from a woman, and she says, "Oh, I have breast cancer, and I'm ready to die, and I need to get this processed before I die." So I thought, well, I'll test her out. So what I did, I sent in an anointed cloth. And I said, I'm sorry to hear that you have breast cancer, and before anything can be done, I think it's best that you petition God for your healing. So here's an anointed cloth that you can use. Well, after about 3 months, and I sent it express mail, it came back. Person unknown. Address not valid. See, but if you think, ooh, my, that's wonderful. I'm going to get all this money for just a little bit out. See, remember, for their heart studies destruction and their lips talk of mischief. They're not with you. They want to take from you. And you'd be surprised how many people have gotten caught up in that and have lost their money. Now, let's see from where we start with our hearts and minds so that we can have pure hearts. Let's come to Jeremiah. Here's one we all know, Jeremiah 17:9. And so through the process of conversion, through the process of receiving the Holy Spirit after repentance and baptism, etc., then we have the process of having our hearts purified. But here is what many hearts are like. And so since it's during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, let's just start here in verse 1, and we will see the contrast all the way through here. The sin of Judah is engraven with a pen of iron. That's pretty strong talk, isn't it, huh? Yes. And with the point of a diamond. It is carved upon the tablet of their heart and upon the horns of their altars. In other words, even everything that they do religiously is sin. While their children remember their altars and their asherim beside the green tree on the high hills. Now that is the asherim. There is the obelisk alongside the, in the grove there. O my mountain in the field, I will give your wealth and all your treasures for spoil and your high places because of sin throughout all your borders. And you, even yourself, have let go of the inheritance which I gave you. See, because God brought them in there, blessed them, gave them the land, watched over them. Fantastic. Which I gave you, and I will cause you to serve your enemies in a land which you do not know. For you have kindled a fire in my anger which shall burn forever. In other words, and we're reaching that way in America today, much the same way. There is so much sin all around, everywhere, that what people consider acceptable level of behavior is defined downward. And the deviancy or the sin is made more and more and more and more acceptable. You wait and see. The time is going to come that they will say there are so many sex predators, there are so many sex sins, we need to eliminate all of those laws off the books because we don't have the time to chase them down and our courts are overloaded with it and we can no longer afford to do it. And that will then show you that we have reached the same point that they have here. Verse 5, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man. That's why you never have anyone between you and God. And makes flesh his arm or his defense, and whose heart departs from the Lord. Because you cannot have a pure heart unless you are with the Lord. Now here's what's going to happen. And as you watch any of these things concerning the different nations and the things that take place in those nations, you can judge them by this. God will bless any nation that will be righteous. So as you look at the problems and difficulties of the different nations of the world, what you are looking at is this. You're looking at the judgment of their sins that God has put upon them. Verse 6, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes. He shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land that is not inhabited. When I look at some of these vast areas where people are still natives running around in their bare skin with no clothing, in the deserts or in the jungles or in the backlands, and this is what they are, I think, my, what a terrible, terrible situation it is. But true, God's word is true. Now, he wants us to understand this for a purpose. Now, notice verse 6, because you have to see the contrast here in order to understand all of Jeremiah 17. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Now, we just saw what happens to the rebellious and the warning that God gave to them before they went into captivity. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. Now, what does that remind you of? Psalm 1. Psalm 1 and verse 3. Matter of fact, right in the center column reference, we have a Psalm 1 and verse 3 referring to it. It sends out its roots by the river. It shall not fear when the heat comes, but its foliage shall be green. And he shall not be worried in the year of drought, nor will it cease from yielding fruit. So this is likened what we are to do with our lives. Always growing, always overcoming, always producing, always loving God, always walking in the way of truth, etc. Verse 9. The heart, and this is what needs to be purified. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So you look at all the sins that people get themselves wrapped up in, and you understand what this really means. I, the Lord, search the heart, and that's where we started, see, the heart knowing God. I try the reins, and the reins is he going to yield to my direction? Even to give to each one according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. As the quail that hatches eggs, it has laid, in the same way he who gets riches and not by right shall leave them in the middle of his days, and in his end he shall be a fool. Hello, Wall Street. I don't think we have ever realized how corrupt and evil and sinful the whole banking system is. It's been amazing to me. Well, I won't get sidetracked on that anymore. Come back here to Jeremiah 10. Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. Even Jeremiah understood that. Jeremiah knew and realized and understood that he needed God, though he was God's prophet. And he needed God's correction and help and comfort. And you read all about what Jeremiah had to go through. I tell you, it's something. Verse 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself, and it is not in man who walks to direct his steps. Why? Because his heart is deceitful above all things, and the way that he thinks is right, as it says there in Proverbs 14 and verse 12, and also Proverbs 16 and verse 25, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So he understood that. Notice what he says. It's not in man who walks to direct his steps. That's why so many things go wrong. And what we are seeing in the world today is the collective sinfulness of everyone bringing out greater and greater and greater and greater and greater and greater problems, and it's going to come to a point where it's going to be too much, and it's going to be just like that whole set of dominoes, bing, and they all start collapsing. It includes every part of the society, not only economics, but every part of society, schools, transportation, where you work, everything. So notice the solution. Verse 24, O Lord, correct me, but with judgment. Not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing. So then he says, pour out your fury on the nations who do not know you, and on the families who do not call upon your name, for they have eaten up Jacob, and they have devoured him, and have destroyed him, and have made his dwelling desolate. And that's coming too. All right, let's come back to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 30. Now, what, as we're turning there, what scripture is a famous scripture in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, that tells us about carnal nature? The carnal mind is enmity against God, which means he's at war with God and an enemy of God, is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So God takes this, this is where we all begin, and to change us, and to make us pure in heart. That's the whole object of what God is doing. Now let's come to Proverbs 30. Let's pick it up here in verse 11. Proverbs 30 and verse 11. Now, I was thinking of this today. Remember Jesus said, this generation shall not pass until all these things have been fulfilled? Let's read it here. Verse 11. There is a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. That's today, isn't it? Yes. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their own filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. I want to read you about the political scene today, verse 14. There is a generation whose teeth are like swords, and their jaw teeth like knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy among men. And I thought to myself as I was preparing the sermon, reading that, I thought, boy, does that not describe this generation today? In degrees and progression, more and more and more and more. You know, it's even hard to channel surf to try and find something that's decent to watch. So Dolores watches My Homes, how they fix up homes and sell them more than anything else. And I watch the History Channel and the National Geographic and a little sports. However, even there, what do you have? Cheating, steroids. Let's see what happens in a religious setting. No, here, Proverbs 21. Let's go back. Just then we'll see the other here. Proverbs 21. In verse 2. Here's an excellent proverb, Proverb 21 and verse 2. Remember this. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord ponders the hearts. Always remember this. God knows. You can lie to yourself, you can lie to others, but God knows. And sooner or later, one day or the other, because God knows, everyone's going to have to face the truth. Because God ponders the heart. Okay, let's come down here to verse 8. The way of a guilty man is perverted, but as for the pure, his work is right. There again, we have the comparison, don't we, see? God is there to help. God is there to bless. All right? Let's see what they do in a religious sense. Let's come to Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. Let's pick it up here in verse 17. Isaiah 66 and verse 17. Those who sanctify themselves and purify themselves to go into the gardens, or that is the groves, after the rites of Akkad. Now, Akkad means the one. Eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse, will be cut off together, says the Lord. Now, I forget which channel it is on, but anyway, every once in a while, I watch this man who travels around, who eats all these weird exotic foods. And some of them are really something. But he loves deep-fried mice. A tender delicacy which he eats head first. And when I saw him crunching on the head there and said, this is good, this is good, I thought, ugh. You know. And then I got an email from a woman in China, and she said, are the laws concerning clean and unclean food still applicable today? And I emailed her back and I said, yes, they are. And I said, I know in China you are going to have a very difficult time, because 80% of what they eat is unclean. And I never will forget how this fellow who eats all these exotic foods, I mean, it's showing him eating termites, grubs, worms. And he said when he was in Mexico, he got deep-fried pork stomach. Nothing like a big mouthful of parasites, huh? So anyway, he was in China, and they were taking him to all of these different places, and one of their specialties, I think I mentioned this before, but if I did, forgive me, but I'll mention it again, is donkey meat. And it is cooked and cured just like pastrami. Yeah, so, if you go to China and get a pastrami sandwich and you eat it, you'll hee-haw afterwards. But anyway, they use everything. They take the donkey hide, take the fur off of it, cook it tender, shred it in noodles, and put it in hot sauce. And he devoured it. Thought that was wonderful. And then it also showed how that they have delicacies with swine's snouts. Couldn't believe it. Anyway, all the imagination of men, that's something. Okay. Let's come back here to Psalms, Book of Psalms now. Let's come to Psalm 24. Psalm 24, and let's pick it up here in verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Now let's take this spiritually, because you see it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And the end result of coming from being carnal-minded and sinful and being converted and having the Spirit of God cleanse you and wash your mind and develop the character within you, the end result will be the resurrection, and you are going to see God face to face, as we'll see a little later. So just project this forward to that. Or who shall stand in his holy place? Verse 4. He who has clean hands, not washed with soap and water, that means clean from sin and evil. Because it talks about those who do sin, they use both hands earnestly. See. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to vanity, nor has sworn deceitfully. Remember, God knows the hearts. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. All right. Let's come to Psalm 15. Let's see how this is expanded again. And actually, Psalm 15 amplifies what we just read back there in Psalm 24. Psalm 15, verse 1. Lord, who shall dwell in your tabernacle? that is, live with God. Who shall dwell upon your holy hill? That is, New Jerusalem. He who walks uprightly and works righteousness, who speaks the truth in his heart, not saying one thing and doing another thing. Who does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and does not change it. And he who has not put his money out at usury, nor has taken a bribe against the innocent, he who does these things shall never be moved. So all of these things show the blessings that come when you're yielding to God and he's cleansing your heart and your mind. All right. Now, let's come to the New Testament. Let's come to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, the first chapter. Let's pick it up here in verse... Let's just pick it up right in verse 1. Lots of times you forget the first couple of verses and you miss a lot when you do, especially in the epistles of Paul. Because he says, blessing and grace and mercy from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ most of the time. Now, verse 1, 1 Peter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the elect strangers scattered in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the predetermined knowledge of God the Father, because it is God who leads us to repentance, it is God who draws us to Him, and then through that, then we come to Christ. By sanctification through the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you. So again, this goes right back to what we covered earlier on grace and mercy. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See, we haven't been called to be good religious people. We have been called to become the sons and daughters of God. When Christ returns, we will be changed from flesh to spirit and be immortal forever. Unto an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and unfading, reserved in heaven for us, who are being safeguarded by the power of God through faith, for salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Now that's quite a salutation to a letter. I'll tell you, come over here to verse 13. For this reason, be prepared in your minds. And that's what it is coming to have a pure heart. Be self-controlled, which is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, you analyze all the Beatitudes, and what is that? These are the attitudes so that you can develop the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is love and peace and joy and all of the things listed there in Galatians, the fifth chapter. Be self-controlled and fully hoping in the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So what is the final grace we are going to receive? The resurrection. As obedient children, do not conform yourselves to the former lust as you did in your ignorance, but according as he who has called us is holy, you yourselves also be holy in all your conduct. For it is written, you be holy because I'm holy, and that goes right back to the books of Moses. And if you call upon the Father who judges according to each man's work without respect of persons, pass the time of your life's journey in the fear of God, knowing that you were not redeemed by corruptible things, by silver or gold, from your futile way of living, inherited by tradition from your forefathers, but by the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, and who truly was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for your sakes, even for you. Through him do believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope might be in God, having purified your lives, which then is purifying our hearts, by obedience to the truth. Now here we find the steps of purification. Okay? By obedience to the truth. Unto unfeigned brotherly love through the Spirit, love one another fervently with a pure heart. So that's something. Now notice how this is accomplished. For you have been begotten again, not from corruptible seed, but from incorruptible seed, by the living word of God, which remains forever. So that shows you and starts the process. Okay. Let's go ahead and continue on next time from there, because I've got quite a bit more, so we'll just save the rest of it for number 6. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.